Beyond is sponsored by the Malone Society, the permanent utility of original texts. Which is a weirdly superfluous bumper for this particular episode, as, in fact, we are explicitly going to be talking about the Malone Society, and I have a wonderful guest here to talk about everything that they do. The fact that they are our sponsors is a pure coincidence that makes life interesting. We are delighted, actually, to be sponsored by the Malone Society. It is a wonderful institution that does wonderful things and produces wonderful books, of which we are time recording. And for many of the time you might be listening to this in the future, we are giving away a Malone Society edition each month. It's free to be part of this giveaway. Anyone can do so by either filling in a form online or becoming a free subscriber to our Patreon, which is a wonderful opportunity. We've already distributed two at time of recording, so we've already made some people very, very happy with Climen and Climates. Anyway, I have a wonderful guest to talk about the Malone Society. Who are you and what is your purpose in life?
So I'm Lucy Munro. My day job is that I'm Professor of Shakespeare and Early Modern Literature at King's College London. But I also look after the website for the Malone Society, and I sit on the Malone Society's Council. And I've been doing that for over a decade now, actually longer than over a decade, quite well.
So the Society, what do you do?
Yeah, the Society is a wonderful thing. So we were founded in 1906, so we're in our 120th year this year. And we support scholarship broadly in early modern textual studies and theatre history. And a lot of what we do sort of involves really the interface between those two things. So one of the main things we do is every year we publish a volume, which is an edition of either a print edition of an early modern play or a manuscript. And these are, in some ways, the least kind of mediated editions that you'll come across. So we started off doing sort of type facsimile of early editions of early modern plays. These days, we tend to do actual facsimile, so photo facsimile. And then we also publish editions of manuscripts. And those, because of the nature of early modern handwriting, we don't very often do facsimile editions, although we did do a facsimile of the absolutely beautiful presentation and manuscript of Fletcher's The Woman's Prize for the Tame Attained, which is at the Folger, which is a gorgeous italic hand, which is still legible now. Most dramatic manuscripts are not written in beautiful hands. So our editions and manuscripts tend to be diplomatic transcriptions. So as faithful a transcription as we can get to the original manuscript. So we publish one of these every year. The first one in 1907 was a type facsimile of Peel's Battle of Alcazar, as an edition from 1594. And then the most recent is Barnaby Barnes's The Devil's Charter, which is edited by Richard Proudfoot and Henry Woodhousen, who are longstanding members of council, although you don't have to be on council to edit for the Malone Society. And that is the volume that you'll get if you join us at the moment. In addition to giving you a facsimile of the first quarto, it also has a really thorough reappraisal investigation of the play's printing history, its date, its authorship, its performance. So with the editions, you don't just get the text, you also get substantial kind of research-led work in the introductions and things as well. So the Malone Society edition is often the place to go if you want to really get a sense of a play's original print and composition kind of history.
Going to push for the listener, why it's really great to join the Society. One, it is reassuringly cheap, actually. It's not an expensive thing. And you get a book. And they're not going to talk about The Devil's Charter. The one that I found most fascinating recently was The Aphrodisial by William Percy. And William Percy is a very odd playwright. But what's fascinating when you're looking at something that's coming from a manuscript as well, when you can see the author changing their mind as they're writing it. And that's something that I find really delightful when you're looking at looking at manuscripts, that you can see the decisions being made, bits being crossed out, a word started, no, that's the wrong word, I'll start it, no, that sentence has gone horribly wrong, I'll start it again. And there's something really magical about that that I really, really love.
Yeah, and I think the manuscripts, the editions of manuscripts in some ways are my favourites, partly because they get texts which are very difficult to access otherwise, kind of out there into the world. And partly because they give you this whole range of different kinds of stages of a play's kind of process. So something like the Percy manuscripts, which is, you said, these weird plays that were, I mean, very heavily influenced by the commercial stage and intended or written by Percy with the commercial stage in mind, but possibly never performed, or maybe performed by a children's company, but we don't quite know. And he has these wonderful notes where he says, if it's going to be performed by men, this. If it's performed by boys, this. So he's kind of working through that composition process, thinking about his ideal performance kind of context, I suppose. And then at the other end of the scale, we have some of the editions which are manuscripts that were used as prompt books, which are full of the most fantastic kind of messy detail of production and the censorship as well. So something like Moore, that, you know, that Beyond did the, you know, fantastic event a couple of weeks ago as we're speaking. You know, there you've got the censor intervening, you've got revisions that are made, some of them seemingly in response to the censor, some of them kind of independently of the censor. And then we've also published editions of Sir Hayward's The Captives, which is still in print, can still be bought from us, which is one where you really do need the Malone Search edition because the original's handwriting is absolutely appalling, even by the standards of early modern dramatic handwriting.
Yes, Secretary Hand is a whole universe of pain sometimes.
Absolutely. And then we've got something like Believers You List, which is the Massinger play, which I think is out of print, but, you know, which in addition to sort of cues and things in the manuscript also has a list of like the hand props that some of the leading actors were going to use, which in turn tells you which characters they were playing, and, you know, has all this really rich ancillary kind of material about the play as it was performed.
And you mentioned Sir Thomas More, so indeed we did use the Malone Society edition was our sort of primary working text, because it's the sort of the closest one that would give us a sense of how the manuscript functioned. Because, of course, what most editions do is they try to be terribly helpful for a reader to be able to read a play like a play. Whereas, of course, what we were trying to do was decipher a manuscript and decide what was happening to it as it was happening, which is a different job of work. And the Malone Society edition was just absolutely vital to that process, because deciphering other mediated versions was a lot harder in the process of creating our working script. And that's a particularly, you know, well-known edition that you've produced, because, you know, it's done well enough that you've reprinted it at least twice, I believe.
Yeah. So it's reprinted. It's first published in, I think, 1911, then revised a little bit, supplemented a bit in the 60s, I think reprinted again in the early 90s. So, it's one of the stalwarts in some ways.
Yes, though getting a copy is now slightly harder, because we did give away a reasonably large chunk of your back catalogue to the audience.
If it creates an overwhelming, you know, demand and people are queuing up to buy it, then we'll just have to think about, you know, a new edition of it.
So what other plays from the backlist, you know, what other editions that you think the Malone Society has done particularly well?
So I think another one of the really important ones is the edition of The Tragedy of Mariam, which by Elizabeth Carey, it's the first surviving original play in English to have been written by a woman. And we actually published that originally, I think, in 1914. So really before the kind of explosion of interest in women's writing in the 70s and onwards. And then that was reprinted in a very timely kind of way in 1991. With kind of new additional material. So that one, I think, has been very important to us. As I say, I really like the work that we do with manuscripts of plays. And I like the fact that we span everything from the early 16th century through to the sort of the mid-ish sort of 17th century. So we really think about early modern drama in a kind of broad sweep. We've published a lot of editions of interludes, late Tudor kind of morality works, early Tudor morality works indeed, of various kinds. So lots of John Hayward, for instance, various mid-Tudor interludes which don't otherwise get a lot of attention. So I really like the work that we do in those kinds of areas. And I think one of the things that say something like the manuscript editions do is they give people the opportunity to work comparatively with the version that made it into print and a version of manuscript. So not all of our editions of manuscripts are Playhouse manuscripts or authorial manuscripts. Some of them are presentation manuscripts. So things that were made for a private patron at some stage, but which often vary a bit from what ended up being published. So got a couple of editions of Fletcher plays. So The Humorous Lieutenant, for example, there's the manuscript, presentation manuscript survives with the title Demetrius and Ananthe, which is the names of two of the main characters. And that gives you a slightly different take on the play than the version that ended up being printed in the Beaumont and Fletcher folio in 1647. I like that kind of, you know, comparative thinking that Malone Society editions often enable.
I think it's important to say to our listeners that, you know, these are relatively specialist. They are delightful. But if you are new to the world of early modern drama, this might not be your entry point. But they're definitely beautiful volumes. And hopefully, that just by joining the society, the important thing is, of course, you are supporting this work happening. You are supporting a continuity of text being produced, and that these are useful for us as practitioners to make shows happen, and that there is a circle of work going on here, that we are actually interlinked, and that just by joining the society and supporting the work is as important as the volumes that come out at the other side as well, because it's supporting academics, it's supporting their work, it's supporting the universe of early modern drama.
I think the other thing I like is the fact that you know, historically and recently, we've often given people a first opportunity to work with an early play in terms of editing, in terms of textual scholarship. And some of those people will go on to do a lot of work as editors and some won't. But I think facilitating that work is a, you know, a really important thing that we do. And we also, alongside the volumes, we offer fellowships and research grants. So these are quite small grants, but they're, again, oriented around textual scholarship. For instance, we funded things connected with the Records for Early English Drama to assist with the preparation of those editions. We've given people bursaries, fellowships for work that feeds into other kinds of editions. We've also facilitated practices research and performance of research work where it has a textual kind of element to it. So a project on the Masque of Queens, for example, with Emma Whipday and Daniel Starter-Smith. There's material about this on the website. We have an annual prize for graduate students. We've got a new award, which is just coming on stream this year, which is an essay prize, which is named in honour of Elizabeth Brennan, who was a really long-standing member of council and who left us a bequest, which has enabled us to fund that award, which we're very pleased about. And again, that's for textually oriented scholarship. And we also sort of support symposia of various kinds. We try to do a conference every year, which will usually involve a reading of a early modern play, and then some panels or roundtables or talks that kind of focus on that play in particular. So those events allow a kind of deep dive into a particular play. The other thing that people might not know, unless they regularly go to the Shakespeare Association of America conference in the US, is that we also sponsor the dance at the end of that conference. And this, I think, is the doing of a former much beloved member of council, Thomas L. Berger, who had all sorts of kind of ideas for publicising the society and getting it more known. And I think the reason why the concluding dance at the SAA is the Malone Society dance is down to Tom Berger, who used to also organise things like, or at least would promote things like the Malone Society Fun Run. So none of us have quite lived up to Tom's enterprise, I think, in publicising the society.
So are there any future events that Malone is bringing to the fore at the moment, at time of recording? I mean, we will go out relatively quickly to the podcast, but is there anything coming up that people might want to track into?
We're planning an event for later this year, which will tie in with one of the upcoming volumes. And I'm not sure that I can say what those volumes are at this stage. But yeah, watch this space. Things are forthcoming.
So what sort of member benefits do you get for being part of the society?
Well, the initial thing you get is you get a free book or multiple free books if you're a graduate student who's joining us for the first time, in addition to the annual volume. And then you also get a discount on buying backlist from the website as well.
Excellent. So if you'd like to join the Malone Society, we can heartily recommend it. MaloneSociety.com, I say off the top of my head. I think that's the link. Links will be in the show description. And I say, if you want to be in on a future giveaway, we do it every month on the 5th. Of each month, the entries close. So get in quick and be a part of the draw. And so you remain on the draw until our sponsorship ends sometime in 2027. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting. If we were able to rootle around in the Malone Society archives and say, we're going to do another Sir Thomas More style event, as a closing thought, what would you like us to do?
Oh, gosh.
You don't have to have enough edit copies to give away to the audience, but, you know.
I was going to say, well, so my colleague Simon Smith, who is in charge of the orders in the stock, would say Samuel Daniel's Hyman's Triumph, because I think that's the book that we currently have the most copies in the backlog, which is a fascinating play. It's a pastoral tragicomedy from the mid-16-teens, performed for Anna of Denmark. And Daniel's somebody who works on the kind of, in some ways, the interface between closet drama and the commercial stage. So one of his plays originally intended as a closet play appears to have been performed commercially. He has all sorts of interesting kind of interactions with commercial stage people. So I would, from pragmatic and intellectual reasons, I would try and make a case for Hyman's Triumph, I think.
Well, it's high on my list for a number of reasons, so you never know. Watch this space. If you're interested in that kind of thing, get in touch online. Send us a message if you're wanting some Hyman's Triumph to occur in the future. We do let our patrons vote for future projects as well each year. We're not quite at the stage this year for another vote, but you never know. You never know. All that remains to thank my wonderful guest for being wonderful. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you very much for having me and goodbye.